Brendan.
Hello, Alan.
What a great day for a podcast.
It's daytime where you are? Wow, I didn't realize San Jose was so far away. It's like nighttime here now.
These microclimates are a real bitch.
No, it's not. It's not daytime, Alan. That's just all the smog and the city lights in San Jose.
And the glow.
But yeah, it's that glow.
That's entirely not possible. The sun. Entirely possible. It's that kind of not quite amber. It's just kind of yellow green kind of light. Yeah.
Yeah, I had forgotten that the sky is supposed to be black at night. I moved back to Sonoma County. Oh yeah, it's really dark. Where are all my street lights? I'd feel unsafe, except there's no people here.
Awesome. Well, it's time for another Not a Thing podcast. It's been kind of a wild week. This week is the Game Developers Conference in San Francisco. I haven't been privy to any of that knowledge, only because I'm not invited to those kinds of things. I'm not a game developer. I kind of want to go to those kinds of things. I really like kind of the buzz from conventions. But one gaming convention that that is open to the public was the Penny Arcade Expo. And
East.
Yes. So that one was just this last week in Boston. Or last weekend, I guess. It was Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. The one in Seattle is normally Labor Day weekend, and I'm not sure if they've announced plans for that for real, but I was hearing rumors that they were actually going to extend it, so it was going to be 4 or even 5 days, because it is ridiculous crowded when they do that in Seattle, and so they've kind of overrun the convention center space there. So I don't know how Boston is doing, but it looked like it was action-packed. There were a lot of stuff that came out of the show. We mentioned on the show, again, Brendan's correct call about Assassin's Creed 4.
Yo-ho!
And there was the trailer was released for that last week. I am surprised at how quick they got that game out. Because it's going to come out in November, it looks like. I still haven't beaten Assassin's Creed 3, for that matter.
Nope, so, neither have I.
So I might hit the bricks and try and, assassinate some rabbits and deer and maybe George Washington along the way. We'll see.
Don't want to anger those pedophiles. Sorry, pedophiles. No, wait, sorry. PETA members. That's the one. No, yes. That doesn't sound right either.
Yes.
Those animal people. No, that doesn't work either. You know what I mean. Well, think of it this way. You've got till November 1st to beat Assassin's Creed 3.
Yes.
So then there's no wait time. Oh, man, what's going to happen next?
Right.
There's another game.
It looks like, though, that they've abandoned the Assassin's Creed 3 kind of character and storyline. I don't know. I mean, you can't tell from the trailer that much, but it sounds like they're pushing a new hero rather than the same one from 3, which is kind of an interesting choice because they really had the same characters and storyline for 3 games, for Assassin's Creed 2, right? It was
Ezio. For the worst character. Ezio gets 3 games. That guy was a jackass.
Yeah, I actually agree with you. I really wanted a...
Give me 3 more Altair games.
Yes. Yes, now we're talking.
Well, at least I believe Desmond Miles is still the main, feature character.
Oh, really? Okay.
I believe so.
Okay, I want them to do kind of a present-day Assassin's Creed, but I feel like they're just going to stretch that out as long as humanly possible. I mean, why not, right?
So would they have it where it was like his future... Like one of his descendants, so they're playing back as Desmond Miles playing back through.
Wow.
Assassin's Creed Inception.
Yeah.
I guess Assassin's Creed Black Flag sounds like the best rum ever. I would totally drink that. I would buy it and then I would taste it and think this is terrible.
Yeah. It's a missed tie-in opportunity, Ubisoft.
Get into the alcohol business.
Right. This alcohol is rated rated E for everyone.
It's rated R.
Ah.
I'm sorry.
Well done. Well done.
No. Don't encourage that. That's bad.
Oh man. So what else? What else? Kind of news was interesting. Apparently, more people had some hands-on time with the Oculus Rift. Have you heard of that? The virtual reality helmet?
No. Maybe.
So. It was kickstarted, I guess, sometime last year, and it was they had a demo of it at PAX in Seattle that I went to, and it was on a, I guess they had it on a game that was a like mechs fighting big huge robot things fighting each other, which I think is really funny because the last time I saw a virtual reality helmet for sale was the this is a while ago. This is the VFX1 was the name of it, like the most memorable name ever, apparently. And it was along with MechWarrior 3. So that was like 99 maybe. So it's been a little while. I'm kind of surprised that they're tying this new one with a another kind of robot mech game and not just a traditional shooter, but yeah, it's really good. It was much better than what I remember when I did kind of virtual reality stuff literally in the 90s, like that long ago. I remember those.
Last century?
Yeah, really. Wow. Last millennium. Because that's how old I am, folks. That's how old I am. Anyway, I think it's funny that they're trying to bring back virtual reality because there's so much backlash about 3D in movies and stuff. So 3D in games really hasn't taken off because of the goggles.
Because 3D technology sucks.
Right. But doing virtual reality is somehow okay. I don't understand how that works. But it's a really neat tech demo anyway. I think it shouldn't be that difficult to port into other games either, because I mean, all of the environments are 3D rendered, so what is it to make two different points of view and then render that out? I feel like that should just be built in, and maybe I think that is the premise with the headset, is that you don't have to rebuild a game to do 3D, because all games are 3D. Well, I mean, you know, it would work with all 3D games, so all first-person shooter kinds of things, just out of the box. Which,
well, and it is. You did say it was a Kickstarter. It's not like it's the Sony virtual headset or the Microsoft Xbox.
Yeah, as far as I know, it is still independent. They have gotten a lot of, they did get a lot of funding after the Kickstarter from actual game companies for investment. So it sounds like it's still coming. Like it's actually going to be mass produced. The Kickstarter was essentially just for the development kits, so it still wasn't a thing that they were necessarily going to make or mass produce, but yeah, we'll see how much the final one costs, let's say. Because if it comes out and it's like, you know, more than my computer is, I'm probably not going to buy one, but yeah. I mean, it really all comes down to the consumer price point, so we'll see how that goes. Another kind of interesting hardware thing that came out last week was it's a controller for the game Dive Kick, which is a fighting game between two guys. It's dive versus kick, and the buttons for the game. It comes with a huge controller with two buttons, with one button is dive, and the other button is
I think it's kick.
It's kick. Yeah, you're right. And you that's the whole game. There's no
one hit kills.
Right. One hit kills. You know, it's winner take all essentially for those, and you your character moves by a combination of diving, which is jumping. I'm not sure. I guess it's diving into the air is the way they describe it, and kicking, which kind of is a downward diagonal attack. And so there are a couple other characters, but it's a straight up fighting game based on essentially two moves per character, which
looks like the most frustrating game I've ever seen. The most simple but frustrating.
Yeah, I mean, the way they were describing it is that it's kind of elegant in its simplicity, but I feel like there's still like it would take a while to balance a game, you know, like
that. Sounds like marketing talk to me.
Right. I think there is some truth to reducing the game to its most kind of basic premises, which in this is the basic premise is that you're trying to control the other character's kind of screen real estate, because by kind of jumping into the character, into the other guy, you're taking their space away. And that's what most fighting games are kind of come down to. But I still feel like fighting games should involve some amount of fighting. So I don't know if there's really the depth that
it's like slap fight the game.
Yeah. Except it's every time you slap them that you've won. That's it.
It's like the game where you hold your hands out and the other person holds their hands out facing the other way and you try to slap them. But, you know, with video games so they can charge you more money.
I mean, it's interesting. I think I might check it out if it didn't require me to buy two huge controllers just to play it.
Well, I think I read those controllers were just specially made for PAX.
Okay. All right.
So that's not the normal.
You can just use a regular
It's not controller. Like Rock Band where you've got all this equipment to drag still, around every time you want to play.
Yeah. It's still funny to me, but I think if it's not terribly expensive, I would probably get it to laugh at it. I don't know if I would get it to be like seriously competitive. I don't know. Who knows?
It seems like it would be a good drinking game.
Yeah. Loser does shots.
Yeah. Or no, winner does shots.
Oh, there we go.
Keeps it even.
Everybody wins. That reminds me. How is Street Fighter coming out for you?
I'm slowly climbing the ranks. And by climbing the ranks, I mean getting beat less quickly. I can actually win some fights now. So
interesting.
I'm no longer a total noob at work.
Nice. I will pass along a thing I read. I have to write that down. I'll pass along a note I read. Apparently, Capcom is seeking feedback for character gameplay balance, because they're going to release a patch sometime this year to rebalance the characters in Street Fighter, which I think
they're
really
totally unbalanced.
Yeah. Well, I think it's really interesting that they're even doing that, because I remember when the arcades were out, they had a couple different revisions of it, but it wasn't to balance the characters. They had a couple different revisions because like there were game crashing bugs that you could exploit. I remember one was called the invisible throw that you could do, and it was a guile move. And so what happened was when there was a series of buttons you would press, and guile would go into a throwing motion, but he would never complete it. And he never was holding on to you. It was just like he threw nothing. So that's why it was called the invisible throw. But what happened was he was in this invincible state. So if you touched him without a move happening, like if you were kicking and then you missed, but he touches you where the kick wouldn't hit you, you go through a throw You would just fall down exactly where you were, which was pretty hilarious. One of my friends, he posted on Facebook that he had downloaded a ripped ROM of that arcade just so he could do that. Because he spent so much time and money figuring out how to do that, that he wanted to continue to be able to do that, which I think is great.
Yeah, it's nice to be able to actually put in a lot of game hours, you know, 10 minutes at a time, but for free, not having to put in quarters or anything.
Yeah. Oh, gaming. Gaming is good. Yeah, there was a lot of good PAX news this week. I'll just wrap up with two more pieces. The first one, kind of a somber thing, I guess. Harmonix, the guys that made Rock Band, are releasing their last song pack next week, and they're going to release American Pie. And I thought, hey, that's really cool. I'll probably buy it. But what was great was they're ending their run of weekly song releases. I had not known that they were still releasing songs every week since the game came out, and you could buy downloadable content for it. So I read a thing saying that they've released 275 weeks of songs, which is over 5 years of weekly song downloads, which is something like 4,000 songs. Which is nuts.
I didn't know people were still playing Rock Band.
That's so much downloadable content. I mean, I can't even imagine buying all of those. Like, if you were a fan...
You know, there's
mean,
people that do. There's some completist out there who's like, please stop releasing games. I have to keep buying them.
Well, so I was buying all the ones that I liked for quite a while. And I stopped. I got off the wagon maybe a year and a half ago.
Got on the wagon.
But yeah, 4,000 songs. So let's say they're $1 each, which they're probably not. They're probably a little more than that. But could you imagine spending $4,000 on a game? I mean,
you could buy like a decent actual guitar and pay for lessons,
right? Exactly,
and actually be able to play those songs with the amount of money you would spend, especially 5 years.
Right.
Every week having releases, instead of learning that 5 years worth of learning.
Yeah.
You could play an actual instrument.
Yeah. It's impressive.
Which should be a thing. Play real instruments, people.
Yes.
I know Rock Band's fun when you're drunk, but play real instruments.
Which reminds me, I have to have you over for Rock Band again sometime. We'll make this work.
Yeah, maybe this weekend.
The other last thing that I think is great from PAX is apparently, and I had no idea this was even in development, they're making a Star Trek first person shooter based on the J.J. Abrams Star Trek universe.
Which I saw the trailer for that, and all I could think was this: I'd rather just play Mass Effect.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You didn't like how it looked, or?
I mean, I think it looks all right, but I mean, it looks better than any other Star Trek game I've seen.
that's probably true, right?
But still, I was like, oh, well, if I wanted to play a first-person shooter, I'd rather play Mass Effect. Well, but I'm biased, because that's one of my favorite games ever. So I guess that makes sense that I would want to play the thing that I love rather than this new thing I have not played.
Well, I think it's a healthy bias, right? I mean, most game tie-in or movie or TV show tie-in games are awful.
Which might be part of my hesitation.
Yeah, like the Walking Dead Survival Instinct came out just like 2 weeks ago and has universally gotten like worst game of the year kinds of punches, which. I've seen a couple gameplay trailers and read a few reviews, and it does look quite bad. But it's got the voices of Norman Reedus and Michael Rooker, so can't be all bad, right?
Yeah, but if I'm going to just listen to them talk, I'll watch the show.
Yeah, yeah. we were mentioning ahead of time, or before the podcast, you know, let me not... I don't want to spoil it for everyone, but we do actually talk before the podcast about things.
For a couple minutes.
That might be generous. It's more like, you know, a minute, yeah. Maybe. But we were talking about the Walking Dead game from Telltale Games.
It's great.
Yeah, I really like it. How far into it are you?
I'm in the third episode.
Okay.
So I'm about halfway.
Yeah, I'm still in the second. So
you're in for some bummer stuff, man. I mean, I don't think that's really a spoiler, because if you know anything about The Walking Dead, like, it's not a happy-go-lucky experience.
No, not
the show or the comics.
Exactly, or even at all. Yeah. I really like it. I mean, it's very choose your own adventure, and there's some kind of action elements to it, but it's mostly just kind of a really good set of moods and characterizations and really breathing in kind of storylines and characters that are not in the movie nor the comic book, which is really cool because it's still in the world and still consistent with everything, which
yeah,
it's
like parallel.
Like. Yeah. Yeah.
I never would have thought a game where you barely move around and just click on things would be so intense.
Yeah.
it's really unnerving.
I think I played through the entire first episode without dying until the very, very end of it, when I didn't hit a button fast enough and I wasn't paying attention. It was like,
well, it's nice that it doesn't punish you too badly. It just says you're dead, and then you start from the next from the previous save point. It's very simple. Just a screen says you're dead.
Right. Although you do get, like, I was mauled by a zombie, you know, and so that was kind of messed up. But you're right, it doesn't dwell on it that much. They could easily have made it a lot worse.
Yeah, it kind of, the animation style really reminded me of those Richard Linklater movies.
Oh yeah,
the rotoscope.
Yep.
So it kind of felt like I was watching one of those. It feels like I'm watching one of those movies that I'm playing rather than it's a video game. Makes it almost more cinematic.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Their whole set of games are generally good. I liked the Monkey Island games that Telltale put out, and I know they revived actually a different LucasArts property, Sam and Max, for some of their stuff. And they did a really good, or a supposedly really good, Back to the Future game. It's an interesting franchise because they sell their games in episodes rather than you buy a full game. You buy them in, like, kind of pieces, which means A, they can develop them as they're, you know, sell them essentially as they're developing them, which is probably easier for them. But at the same time, you know, if you're buying them along the way, it gives you that TV episodic kind of feel, like you're, you know, you want to get to the next one, or you're waiting for the comic, you know, every month, which I think plays into the narrative kind of feel of it. And of course, I bought the game, you know, when it was all released, so I have
yeah. Or you wait till, like, it's really cheap and you buy it all at once.
Yes.
And then play the first two episodes in one day and stay up till 3 a.m. You know. Like last night, or, you know, whatever.
That's,
theoretically speaking,
that actually sounds like a very similar experience. Yes.
I usually don't drink coffee. I had some coffee this morning, dragging a bit after staying up till 3 a.m. Killing zombies.
Cool. Well, that's all the gaming I think I got this week. This weekend, though, is International Tabletop Day on Saturday. So
yes,
go out there, find some board games, and play them. They're good. Video games, board games. Games are good. Games are good because you kind of get out of your head a little bit. And
don't play a single player game on Tabletop Day.
Yeah.
Get some friends together.
Don't play solitaire.
Yeah. If you play Minesweeper all day, I will be very mad at you. It does not count.
Yeah. But I think that kind of stuff is great. Especially, I mean, even if you play something online, I think as long as you're not a dick about it, it's good game. Good stuff.
That's internet rule number one, right?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Pretty sure.
Is that the Wheaton rule? Don't be a dick.
Don't be a dick. Although that rule was broken heartily last weekend. Apparently, in the span of like 2 days, a whole mess of people got fired and everyone got mad. I'm not sure. It's kind of a niche community thing. So I don't know if you heard about it, but there was a blogger. Her name's like Adria Richards, I believe. And so she was at a conference and then had overheard some people, and I guess they kind of rubbed her the wrong way. And instead of, or what she did was she took a picture of them and then tweeted and hashtagged like a bunch of people and said, you know, hey, these guys were not cool, and really insinuated that they were, you know, people that should be publicly shamed. And then what happened was this firestorm of those two guys getting fired, and then a backlash occurring of, hey, you can't do that. And then her getting, you know, called out like a lot, kind of really, really hatefully on Twitter and other social media, and then her getting fired. And for me, it was especially just messed up, just because it's like there's so many ways that that could have gone better, and none of those ways happened. And it just was a mess. And it really hits to like a lot of core beliefs I have about the internet and anonymity and generally treating people nice and stuff like that. The first misstep that I see is kind of, if you're, I occasionally will post that I, you know, on Twitter that I've overheard a conversation that I don't like, but that's all I'll post. I try not to publicly shame
the accompanying picture.
Yeah. Yeah. That was a little messed up. Only because it was identifying, right? And so the consequences of identifying that person was that person got fired.
Yeah.
Which may have been an overreaction, I think. But then, you know, the overreaction of people to her action was that it went beyond like kind of decent rational thought of, hey, you can't do that, to straight up misogynistic like tweets and posts. And I mean, that also is not cool. So there's nothing redeeming in that either. And then her company, instead of kind of working with her to apologize or otherwise kind of make it right, fired her, which again doesn't really solve anything other than get her out of the spotlight, at least for the time being. So it's kind of a lose situation.
Mm-hmm.
So I had read an article that I think summed it up really nicely and really just said, if all she did was tell the people that, you know, she was kind of offended by, that she was offended, it might have been okay. You know, which I think is, again, speaks to something that I really like about, or I really find really hard about the internet, is like, we have so many ways to communicate and we just don't correctly. And so,
well, it's like she was trying to maintain her anonymity by putting these people on blast on the internet.
Yeah.
But through doing that completely, you know, it would, like, I don't feel comfortable talking to these people, right, but I can bash them on the internet.
Yeah.
And then just to have what you put out there is going to come back at you.
Yeah. And I think rightfully so, it should come back to you, you know,
because but not to the degree that it did in this situation.
Right.
I mean,
right.
I mean, it's the internet, so horrible things.
Yeah.
That's where they live.
Yeah, and I think the way my thing about anonymity is, a lot of people think anonymity is kind of bad on the internet, and I actually like anonymity on the internet. I think, you know, the thing that is bad is not having consequences if you're, you know, whoever you are, right? I mean, that's the thing that really drives you to be kind of a bad person is that if you think there are no consequences to being a bad person. And so this is actually fixed in a couple different games. I'd read about it and talked about it at a panel at last year's Penny Arcade Expo, which was the way they would treat, or they would kind of protect against people bashing each other in online games, was when you first start an online game, you essentially have no voice. So for the first like 10 games you play or something like that, you are you're considered, you know, completely new and have no rights in the game system. And then you, anytime anyone flags you for anything negative, once you have the right to speak, it counts against your kind of gamer karma. And then your ability to speak or otherwise, you know, post on message boards or whatever is moderated by that. And it kind of adds the consequences, but it doesn't force you to be like, well, my name is blah, 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 blah. It's like you can still have your gamer tag. You can still have your you know, whatever you want to produce as your persona without being, you know, completely anonymous, which I think is a better way of handling that.
Yeah.
I have a big chip on my shoulder for internet rights. So last week we were talking about like what we bring to the podcast. I you know, you have the you know, the no penguins rule, and I have the you know, bring consequences to your actions rule for
that, that sounds much better. That makes you look a lot better than me. I think penguins are stupid and robots are going to kill us all.
Oh, robots? And,
yeah, I think, you know, personal responsibility.
Hey.
Thanks, Alan.
I think taking personal responsibility for putting robots out on the internet and robot penguins, no less, is not a thing. So,
oh, I hadn't even thought about that. Please. Oh. Maybe that's why I always thought the penguin was a bad villain for Batman. He's terrifying.
He's pretty bad. He's pretty bad. But only in the
Tim Burton.
The Tim Burton one, right? Maybe not the the Burgess Meredith as Penguin one.
No, that's not intimidating.
He just kind of looks darling. He's kind of, you know, he's your buddy.
It was the role Danny DeVito was born to play. Well, actually, kind of, it's right. Either that or his role in Twins.
Yes, another fine Arnold Schwarzenegger movie brought up on the podcast. We should get him to guest. I mean, what's he doing now?
Pass.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Let's see.
I still haven't forgiven him for the whole state thing. You know,
governorship thing. Whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever.
If you want to call it that.
Yeah. Right.
Thanks.
Well, an interesting use of state funds in a couple instances came up this last week. I think they're both kind of silly in their own way, and both were kind of effective in their own way. But well, I don't know. You'll have to decide what you think of them. So, first one was in the UK.
No, this is like country states, not United States.
Yes.
These are nation states.
Very interesting. Yeah. Good distinction there. I was still thinking city states. I got that, you know.
Right.
I have Sparta on the mind and stuff.
Well, I've been playing a lot of Civilization V this week, so.
Oh, there's a new, that reminds me, there is a new expansion for that coming out. Oh, what does it do? They're revamping the religion system in that game.
Again, well, because the one I'm playing now is it's Gods and Kings.
Oh.
But there's a new, I think it's the New World or something like that.
Oh, okay.
So it's like America. I don't know. I think that's a pretty simple conclusion to draw from that title. But...
Oh, is it so?
I could be totally off base.
So when you're playing the game, do you just not want America because you know how it's going to turn out?
It's who can get out of it the quickest. France wins. They got a bunch of stuff and got to leave.
Yeah. But they still got like kind of a minor foothold in Canada, right?
Well, yeah, Canada's nice.
Yeah. But anyway, the UK, where apparently it's still like crazy illegal to have pot, did something interesting, and they sent out scratch and sniff cards to people in urban areas in order to kind of educate people on what pot smells like as a living plant. The tagline on it, well, you know what it smells when it's or you hate what it smells like when it's burning, so help us find it while it's growing, was something like that for the tagline. It might have been less witty than that, actually.
Yeah, that actually sounds too witty.
That was pretty good for completely off the top of my head, actually. That's bad. I shouldn't be able to think of...
No, actually, I'm reading on the card, is organized crime, and they spell organized with an S.
Oh,
what a bunch of jokers. Jeez. So, is organized crime running a cannabis farm in your neighborhood?
Well, I don't know. Is it?
I wonder how many kids have tried smoking these cards.
Oh, that's rich. I love it.
I mean, they are labeled. This is it's completely safe. There are no drugs in the card. It's just the scent of the plant.
There's got to be some. There's got to be some. It smells right. So.
It's like a vaccine.
Right.
It's there, but it's not active.
Yeah. But I just think it's funny that they're resurrecting scratch and sniff stuff, for this purpose.
I would have liked scratch and sniff cards a lot more when I was a kid if this had been what we had available to us. No, everything just smells like sickly strawberries.
Yeah, I
like, hey, it kind of smells like peaches,
but not really.
No, like chemical peaches,
right? Chemical peaches, exactly.
Chemical peaches.
So yeah, I think that money is interestingly spent on a kind of silly yet probably effective kind of idea, but.
But, well, the crazy thing is they have a reward. So they're using these cards to educate people. And then there's a $1,500 reward for an arrest.
Huh. I feel like that part of it might be more effective.
I could totally see the organized with an S crime of the UK figuring out a way to game the system where they're turning in their lower level guys for the reward and then using that money to finance their operations.
Oh, if that isn't actually happening, that's a movie waiting to happen. You can totally see.
I copyright that.
Yeah.
that's my idea. It's 10:02 PM, March 26th.
Yeah.
2013. I thought of that.
Stay away, Guy Ritchie. Stay away.
Or if you want to collaborate, that's fine too. You can direct, all right.
Now sponsoring the Nerdist or the Not a Thing podcast.
Snatch. The sponsor of Not a Thing podcast.
Oh, we'd have to get Brad Pitt's character to read the trailer for it or the copy for that'd be great.
Well, either him or the guy who plays Bricktop in that movie. Listen to this podcast or feed you to the pigs.
So speaking of pigs, in a different country, I have nothing but respect for the police department of this country, which I think is hilarious.
Yeah, but the cops in Bangalore, I mean, come on.
So the deal was, in order to kind of keep the crime rate low Not the crime rate, just the traffic offense rate. So running stoplights or you know, just generally being kind of bad, kind of low-level kinds of stuff. They would put up cardboard cutouts of cops on corners in the little, I guess, where there are, you can put them up in such a way that they don't look completely fake once you pass them, because I feel like that would kind of give the game away once you notice it's a 2D cutout of a cop. But apparently it's reduced crime in Bangalore. Like, there was a they did kind of before and after studies on the traffic offense rate at, you know, whatever intersections they were putting these in, and it's worked. So you know,
cardboard police, cops.
Yeah, police scarecrows. It's fantastic.
What you gonna do? What you gonna do when they stand near you? Cardboard cops. Live on the streets of Bangalore.
Oh man, that's so good.
I'm looking at this picture of the cop, the cutout. Those cops look like they play for some sort of like the LSU band or something. Those do not look like cops' uniforms. Look like the drum major.
Well, you know, drum major, it's kind of echoing a military ethic, and that's kind of what they're going for, I guess, for police in that country.
I would not respect their authority with a hat like that. I'm sorry.
Well, I mean, you don't have to respect it. You just have to, you know, notice that they're there, I guess. Just knowing you're being watched, whether it's actually watched or cardboard watched, I guess, is enough for some people.
Or maybe just people in Bangalore are gullible. I don't know. Could be. I didn't say they were.
Good save. Oh, man. That was good. I think whoever thought of that definitely had a few beers in them, and then and then it was like, yes, let's do this. This is a great idea.
I mean, I thought budget cuts were bad here, but if they're putting up cardboard cops, they must really be hurting in that department.
Yeah. So when you see a cop on a street corner, you know, you might want to check if it's an actual cop before speeding past it. Just well, saying.
Well, you know, if I see a cop standing on the side of the road, not next to a cop car, I'm just going to keep driving. That's not going to deter me.
You just got to drive casual. You just got to drive casual, just nonchalantly, right? You don't want to draw attention.
Don't be riding dirty.
And now that I have this scratch and sniff card, I know what that smells like. Oh, God.
Because you didn't before the card, huh?
Yeah, yes. Yes. 100%. 100%. One last story this week was that archaeologists have found some pots, and not pot, but pots.
Pots.
Like clay pots that were, they think, used to brew beer. And the interesting thing about these are they're a little over 10,000 years old, which they're kind of roughly dating to the rise of agriculture in whatever civilizations there were. Where is that on the tech tree, Brendan? Do you know, in Civ 5, like agriculture?
It's pretty early.
You got to get granaries and
animal husbandry.
Right. But before you build the Great Pyramid.
Right.
Right. But,
you do get two extra workers if you complete that.
Awesome. But apparently the thing that they're drawing from this is that if they're able to brew beer in this kind of time frame, like it's barely pre-agricultural was what they were thinking, is that means that they had enough extra food or grain or whatever in order to make the beer. So because it predates kind of the major thrust of agriculturalism, they're thinking that because beer brewing kind of existed, it means that they were able to produce more food before actual agriculture was there. So they're saying that the traits of being civilized and kind of meeting other families or whatever existed before the agricultural revolution, which I think is really cool because it essentially means that beer made civilizations possible.
And may lead to its downfall at some point.
If prohibition is anything to be thought of as a good idea, I don't know. I think the jury's out on that one. No,
it's been back for a long time. Prohibition, not a thing.
Beer thing.
Beer thing. Yes. Beer thing. Good. Fire bad.
See, it works. It works. I'm sure that's exactly what was said on cave walls. Exactly what was said. I'm going to put that on my Facebook wall.
Do you think archaeologists will come back and look through people's Facebook walls the same way we look at those walls in France?
Oh, that's going to be a rough...
What is this strange thing that moves? There's like gifts.
What is this YOLO?
Not a thing.
Yes, I agree. Well, that's been certainly enough, Brendan. I know I need a beer. I'm probably going to go get one and start a civilization pretty soon.
Beer good.
Yeah. I'll talk to you next week, Brendan.
All righty, until next time.